Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our brand new liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. What's Liberty at Night, and who the heck are Nate and Charlie? That's a really great question. Charlie and I have a podcast called Good Morning Liberty, which we do every single day of the week when we want to. Hanging out right now with the Fed Haters Club, which you can join by going to joingml.com. We are extremely grateful for the opportunity to be here. We're going to be talking about so many things. Charlie and I have been friends for 20 years. Now, Charlie, you might notice he's not saying much right now. That's because he's not here. I'm recording this intro at a different time. He's currently driving back from visiting his family down in Louisiana. He's driving back up to Nashville, Tennessee, which is where we both live and record from. We moved here from Illinois, escaped the commie state of Illinois a long time ago so we could come down here and play music. Between the two of us, we've traveled and played in 15 different countries and all 50 states, been all around the world pursuing that dream of playing music for quite some time. Not doing that now. Right now we're talking about liberty, libertarianism. Big L libertarianism, I guess, for Charlie, not really for me. We're kind of Ron Paul libertarians, you might say, although I hate saying that. But yeah, that's how we became libertarians in the first place. We basically believe that people own themselves. The old don't hurt people, don't take their stuff, that works really well for us. We also believe that free market capitalism is the only moral and just economic system. If you agree with those things, then you're probably going to like some of the stuff we have to say. Tonight we're going to be talking about the California Reparations Task Force and one of their recommendations, which was wiping away child support for some people in California. I'll let you guess who's going to have some child support taken away, at least the interest, if not some of the actual payments. I want to talk about the tipping culture and our entitlement and victimhood mentality. You know that clip where the guy was mad that he got a $5 tip on the $20 pizza? Well, that's a 25% tip, and you don't get to say you want more tip because the house you went to is nicer. Just like he didn't charge more for the pizza because it was nicer. We're going to talk about Megan Rapinoe retiring. We have spent a lot of time over the last 5 years doing our podcast talking about equal pay for unequal work, or at least unequal results as it pertains to the income, the revenue that the U.S. women's soccer team brings in versus the men's. It's not fair at all. The women are paid way too much money. And then we'll talk about some of the Ukraine and Russia or some waste from the government, even climate change, and even a little bit of RFK Jr. If those things sound fun, then I think y'all are about to have a good time. California Reparations Task Force calls for eliminating child support debt for black residents. The California Reparations Task Force is asking the Democrat-controlled state legislature to eliminate interest, this is one part, interest on past due child support, as well as any back child support debt for black residents of the state.
But
I know.
Where is that money going? Not to mostly black mothers?
I'm warning you, Charlie, don't try to make sense of this or you're going to go nuts, okay? The group claimed that discriminatory laws have torn African-American families apart and that one effect of that is the harms caused by, quote, the disproportionate amount of African-Americans who are burdened with child support debt.
To pay for your child?
They had kids and they're burdened with having the responsibility for their own children. Yes. The nearly 1,100-page document stated that black Californians represent a larger percentage of those who owe child support debt than their proportion of the state's population, which means it must be racist when you look at proportionally. They also claim the 10% interest the state charges on back child support hinders their ability
to finance further education, attend job training, find employment, to maintain housing.
Well, that's not false, by the way. That's true. Owing child support, having an obligation to make a payment, is going to hinder other things in your life.
It will, yes.
You know how you stop that? Either one, stop having children, or two, keep the family together.
And you're going to have to, yeah, keep the family together or get a better job.
Like,
it's just, how is it other people's responsibility? That is the question. The report cited a 2003 California Department of Child Support Services study that estimated 27% of owed child support in the state was unpaid interest, and that those who owed child support had lower incomes than the typical California worker. Now, when it comes to the interest side of this, what I wonder is, and I know what the answer probably is, does the interest go to, let's say the father's paying child support to the mother. Does the interest go to the mother, or does the interest go to the state?
I think it's probably the state who regulates.
Okay.
Because in some states, like, child support has to pass through the state, and then the state issues the check.
Gotcha.
Of course, there's administration costs to that.
Of course, yeah.
And they're not going to pay it.
Now, the interest part is important. To me, it's important. One, it's an incentive to pay it so you don't accrue the interest. And two, the interest would be very important if it went to the mother. For instance, if the mother was owed $500 5 years ago, she doesn't need to receive $500 this year. She needs to receive the interest because there has been inflation throughout that time. Mm-hmm. And $500 today is not worth as much as $500 5 years ago was.
Worth the same yesterday.
No. And so the interest helps take care of that part, but likely the interest goes to the state. And so the only incentive is to try and incentivize people to pay the child support. And so getting rid of the interest part, okay, well, you still want to pay for the administration, paying out the checks and stuff like that, if that is the case. Now, here's the thing. They talk about the debt. They have two things, the interest, and then they also recommend that some of the debt be forgiven, the child support debt. What does that mean? Does that mean the mothers don't get the child support, or does it mean the state doesn't get the child support, but they still pay it out, and so the taxpayers pay the child support, meaning other people?
Well, Nate, it takes a village.
I guess it requires a village in some villages.
It takes a village. No, all we're doing is, like, all this stuff that you see, we're just abdicating responsibility for people and the decisions that they make. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I had a child out of wedlock. His mother and I.
That is impressive.
Yeah. His mother and I did not get married, and I pay child support, among a lot of other things. But I don't blame anyone else. It's not anyone else's fault that I'm in this position. I made a decision a long time ago that wasn't my best choice. But then, like, I have this, like, miracle child who's growing up, screaming in the background sometimes when I'm on calls, which is fine, but also who's just, like, joyous and fun and loving, and it's my obligation to take responsibility for the decisions that I made and also just to, like, be a decent father.
Like, this is your responsibility.
We just keep allowing people to be victims of the decisions that they make and have no responsibility in it whatsoever. Like, it's very obvious that if you do a certain thing that we can't talk about on air, then there's a potential for life to be conceived.
Could happen.
Yeah. And then, therefore, you're responsible for that life. And it's like, oh, man, I just can't anymore. I'm at the point that I can't.
Well, the thing is, what we have to do, and I was wanting to talk to you about this yesterday some, is we can't focus on changing what these people believe. All we can do is talk to people who are willing to listen, who share some of the same beliefs that we do. And all we can do is change how we react to these people and how much we allow them to pull these things over on us and steal from us and keep subsidizing bad decisions and taxing good ones. We can't fix those people. Maybe they can be fixed over time, but all we can do is talk to these people that are listening on the podcast, and we can all decide how we are going to react to and interact with these people and live our lives in the way that's going to set up the right incentive structure the only incentive structure for those people to have to be better. Or, you know what?
I don't know if I can get behind that.
Yeah, I know. But I was just, that was a test.
I think Bailey brought up a good point, and I might say something that might sting Nate here, but I think this is something that Jordan Peterson talked about not that long ago, which is people, it's almost nearly impossible to grow up as an adult, as a person, until you have children. And that's how important it is. Now, some people can do it, but it's extremely difficult. And what Bailey says here is one of the reasons why, and I honestly think it's one of the reasons we see that this rise of like entitlement or narcissistic tendencies, whatever you want to talk about, it's because Bailey says here, it's almost like we shouldn't view kids as burdens and just grow up and realize that you are no longer the center of your universe. Mm. And what Jordan Peterson talked about in the video is that until you have something that you care more about than yourself, right, which is what children do to you, it's like that something happens, and as soon as you see them for the first time, you're like, I would die for that kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, you can get there without having kids, and some people can't have kids, and they can still grow up and be great adults, but I think a lot of people struggle with not realizing that they're no longer this, like, they're the center of their universe, right, until they have something that they're willing to grow up for, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I saw this in my own life. Somebody who abdicated responsibility and didn't grow up until...
Never? 100 I mean, hours?
Still struggles, but at least after 40,
oh,
grew up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know who you were talking about.
In my own life. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Different narcissist.
Yeah, exactly.
My bad. I thought it was going to be a TBD type situation.
Well, I mean, there's others, but I think I think that's also... this whole problem surround like this entitlement. What we talked about with that DoorDash video... All of this other stuff, like these people that are entitled, I think our culture, the birth rate is at an all-time low. You have fewer and fewer parents who don't understand what it's like to have the responsibility of something that you care more about than yourself.
Well, the problem is even the people who do have those kids, we've told them that it's not their responsibility, and they accept that, so they never actually have to change the way that people do when they have parents. And so then they become victims of the fact that they are a parent, and it becomes everyone else's responsibility to take care of this situation that they've been put in by society, probably because of the Supreme Court getting rid of Roe v. Wade or something like that.
Yeah, but it's so, also, well, like I said, you can still have kids and then choose to be absent,
mm-hmm.
and then therefore you're still pushing off your responsibility.
Yeah.
Most of the time, mothers can't do that, although some do, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially those that are like addiction. If you just look at the stats, like when you have something in life that you're choosing over like what the most important thing should be, right? Like you're abdicating that responsibility. You still haven't grown up. You still have to decide like, okay, I now have something that is worth more to me than my own personal endeavors. And it's not that your personal endeavors aren't important, right? But now, on the list, the hierarchy list, there's someone that's further up now, and that they have to become more important than your own self. And that forces you to take responsibility and forces you to grow up and forces you to be a kind person for the most part.
Yeah, but in all of this, Charlie, you're forgetting slavery.
Yeah, of course I am.
Charlie, did you have an interaction with a DoorDash driver one time?
I did.
Is that right? How did that go? What happened?
It didn't go well.
Did he get mad at you about a tip or something?
Sure did. Yes.
Did you at least leave a bad review or something like that?
I think I reported him, yeah, because I was pretty frustrated.
It's too bad you didn't have your doorbell camera on at that time.
I
wanted to talk about this earlier in the week. It's a ridiculous story, but to me, we've been talking a lot about how victimhood and entitlement are what's actually destroying the country, this entitlement mentality. And people are becoming entitled to tips. And they especially feel like they're entitled to things from people who have more than they do because they're envious. And this tipping thing was a really great example of that because the guy says, you've got a nice house and you only gave me a $5 tip, as if it were someone in a lesser house than his service was only worth $5. But if it's someone in a nicer house, his service was worth way more than that. That's not how that works at all. They didn't charge him more for the pizza because the person had a different house than someone else who lived in the trailer park. Pizza costs the same.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll watch the video. It's a little bit too infuriating for me. So I actually...
Can I tell a personal story afterwards?
I was trying to get you to tell the personal story.
You want to tell it before the video?
Yeah. Well, or we can tell it afterwards. We'll play the video.
People don't know what this is about.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to talk about it.
Hi.
Hello.
Come here, Matt.
Matt.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to say, it's a nice house for a $5 tip.
You're welcome.
A little similar, except I clapped back. And I will say, look, I tip $10. I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but I realize that my house is not close, and I used to be in the service industry. Okay, so I understand what it's like to work for tips, and so I approach things a little bit differently. And then you and I were hanging out, ordered a pizza, cost $20, and I left him $10, which is a 50% tip, by the way.
You left $10?
Yeah, $10. And of course, I watched the guy on the app take the back way. There's a much easier way to my house from the city and it's about a 15-minute drive. I get it. It kind of sucks. But he took like the windy roads to my house, and he could have taken the interstate. It would have been much easier. And, anyway, he was nice at first, just like that. And I was like, oh, thank you. And he's like, basically, by the way, his license plate was like from Pennsylvania. Makes sense. And he's like, oh, you're only going to give me $10 for driving all the way out here? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? And he was like, basically, F you and F that. And so I was like, F me. F you.
It's not F me. It's F you.
Buddy. And a neighbor across the street was in his backyard, like peeked around the corner of his house. I was like, what just happened? And I was like, what just happened? This guy just went off on me because I gave him extra money.
A $10 tip for delivering $20 worth of pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, he's already making money per hour or per mileage or whatever DoorDash pays you. They don't work just off tips. It was insane. It was insane. Absolutely insane.
I can't.
But he's from the Northeast, so it makes sense.
You know what's weird is this is actually the most frustrated I've been so far during the show.
Really?
Because these are just your, we're not talking about these elites on MSNBC, these people running the world. These are your normal, average, everyday people. And I like to believe that your normal people aren't quite as crazy as what you see all over the place. But this is a symptom of a bigger problem. This dude didn't have to even get a tip. Like, when you decide to deliver things, you decide to deliver it for the price that the company pays you to deliver that item. And it's judged by the distance and the time that it takes you to deliver the item. And a tip is great if someone wants to give you a tip. That's cool.
Also, being in the service industry, you can be frustrated about your tip. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, plenty of times in my serving career, I was frustrated by either no tip or a small tip when I felt like I did a really good job.
Yeah, especially on Sundays.
Especially on Sundays, yes. The crowd that turns over their wine glass.
Whoever shows up on Sundays roughly after noon are the worst people to take care of.
They are.
And if you're one of those people listening, that's your job to try and
be better.
Be better than that.
Be actually an example.
But all the people that I ever worked with know clear and well that working Sunday afternoon is the worst day because they are the worst people.
But what you never do is say F you to the customer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's the difference. See, this is what I explained to my six-year-old. Like, feelings are valid, but behavior is not. You have to be able to emotionally regulate yourself and not to be an asshole to a stranger. Like, maybe they don't know any better. How do you know? Like,
when I was younger, I used to think
you could just be appreciative of what you got. And you can still be frustrated and tell your friends, like, man, they had a super nice house. They only gave me $5. Like, what the hell? And then your friend could be like, oh, yeah, that sucks. Maybe next time.
I didn't know about the percentage rule until I started waiting tables, and not even at the first place I waited tables. It was at Red Lobster, I think, was like the first actual restaurant.
Red Lobster.
That was not it. I thought
that was...
Red Robin does sound good right now, now that you sing that.
I don't like Red Robin.
Get an egg on my burger, man. I love it.
You can put an egg on your own burger.
I want a Red Robin egg on my Red Robin burger. Okay? Okay, anyway. I didn't know that there was a percentage rule. I just thought that you tipped based on like how many people were there. So it was like, literally, maybe this is embarrassing. I was like, if I was at a cheap place, I was like, well, $1 a person, that's your tip. And if I was a nice place, I'm like, oh, like $5 a person, that's what you tip. But it was based on like how nice the place looked, how much you would tip per person that was there. Literally never thought about looking like a bill at
order
all.
Order per item that they bring to your table. Thank you for this fork. Here's a quarter.
Have you ever had the person who put the $20 bill out and they said that this is where it's starting and it can go down or it can go up from here? Mm. Lacey had those people. Like they would put it on the table and they'd say, this is where it's starting and it's either going to go down or go up from here.
They order $500 worth of food.
Anyhow, this guy did get fired, by the way. He got kicked off. I guess he was using DoorDash. He got kicked off and he got flagged. So justice was served, I guess. It's just, it's concerning to me. You've had this experience. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought about, I was happy anytime I got a tip when I was doing Uber Eats deliveries. It's not every time that you get a tip on something. It's like half the time you get a tip on something. And then you get mad about a tip.
I think what you're saying, the deeper problem that we're having in America is all this emotional dysregulation.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
It's true.
I mean, to like not treat people respectfully because they do something either to you or you perceive it as it's against you or whatever the case may be. Like we used to grow up with values in America,
mm-hmm.
something called honor and respect and character and moral culpability. Like you, being a good person mattered.
Yeah.
And now you don't see that as often. There are still good people out there.
There are.
But you don't see that as often. People just emotionally vomit all over you. And it's your fault.
This guy's walking around being a victim. Okay. And he's upset about what the world has done to him. And he sees this person in a nice house. He hates his job. He hates his life. He hates his wife. He hates his kids. Okay. And he thought that he was entitled to more money from this person who was in this nice house. And that's a really great way to boil down what's going wrong in America right now. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about Megan Rapinoe retiring. So hold on. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Extreme heat is impacting more than 42 million Americans this week. High temperatures are already hitting the Southwest in states including California and Arizona, and the dangerous conditions are only expected to get worse. President Biden is expressing gratitude to the Turkish president for enabling Sweden's NATO accession during their bilateral meeting at the two-day NATO summit in Lithuania.
Thank you for your diplomacy and your courage to take that on.
Turkey recently lifted its block on Sweden's entry into the military alliance just before the start of the summit, bolstering NATO amidst Russia's ongoing conflict with Ukraine. The Secret Service will brief the House Oversight Committee on their investigation into the cocaine found inside the White House. Committee Chair Republican James Comer had been requesting the briefing for days. MSNBC is reporting it will happen Thursday morning. John Schaefer, USA News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back. This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, hanging out here with the Fed Haters Club. You can join that by going to joingml.com and talk with us live while we are recording the show. Coming up, we're going to talk about Megan Rapinoe retiring. We're going to talk about the labor theory of value. But first, I wanted to make fun of this poor, poor former State Department employee who's out here giving a press conference. He's not a former State Department employee yet, but he was talking about the Ukraine war and the state of the war. A little bit of a Freudian slip happening, I believe, is what they like to call it.
A few things. So I will say, with respect to your first question, we believe the war has been a strategic failure for Ukraine. The secretary spoke to this in a speech he gave in Helsinki last month, I believe it was. What's that? I'm sorry, a strategic failure for Ukraine. Thank you for the correction. I need more than one correction today. This is the first time at the podium for a week. I'm apparently a little rusty.
Calm there on Twitter that said, this is what happens when you hear behind closed doors how bad the U.S. proxy war is going in Ukraine. I think it's definitely what's happening. They know that this is a massive failure for Ukraine. It is a massive failure for all of the taxpayer dollars that we have given to Ukraine, of which a lot of that, I'm sure, has just been doled out to whoever was the most politically connected. This is going to be a failure for them. For it to be a success, they can keep it going as a forever war for a long time, because you get to line a lot of people's pockets when that's going on, and keep people talking about something over there while they're doing stuff
over here. Yes, strategic failure for Ukraine. Oops, I meant it's a strategic failure for Ukraine. Yeah, that's what's going on. I think the next thing, before I get on to the, I'll skip over to the Megan Rapinoe thing right now. I don't know. Maybe I heard someone from down in Louisiana talking about it. I'm not sure. We have been talking about Megan Rapinoe since the beginning of this podcast because she's been annoying for that long and even longer. I hadn't heard of her until we started doing the show, but apparently she was annoying before that, too. She has long been crusading for equal pay for the women's soccer team, regardless of how much money they bring in. Regardless of how many less people watch their games, doesn't matter. There is a pay disparity between the women's team and the men's team, and that is just because of gender pay inequality. It can't be the fact that they bring in so much less money. And in fact, we've talked about this so many times that I'll be able to put together a nice little clip segment and just make this an entire episode. Or an entire segment of an episode, if I wanted to. In fact, here's a clip of Charlie and I talking about the income and pay discrepancies or disparities between the U.S. women's and men's soccer teams. On to the women's soccer pay gap saga, which has finally been fixed. There won't be any more issues from the WAPO. U.S. women's and men's national soccer teams close the pay gap with a game-changing deal. That's a nice
look, can I guess, before we even read this?
What is it?
Their deal is similar to the men's teams now.
That's part of it.
Okay.
It's worse than that, though.
It is.
It's okay. Worse.
All right.
Yes. The U.S. men's and women's national soccer team struck a labor deal that closes the contentious pay gap between the squads, an unprecedented step that will equalize both salaries and bonuses, providing a substantial boost to the decorated women's team. The USSF, that's the soccer federation, I assume, said the agreement makes the U.S. the first country to achieve equal pay for its men's and women's teams. Now, how are they achieving this equal pay? FIFA's going to agree to pay out the exact same amount to both teams, right? That's how they achieve the equal pay. The U.S. teams will pool together the World Cup bonuses received from FIFA, the sports global governing body, and split them equally, evening out a substantially unequal playing field. So now the USSF is going to become essentially a government that is going to take in all of the income received from both, and then they're going to distribute it equally between the two teams.
They'll have to take an administrative fee.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
I guess their equal pay.
So even if the men's payout is $50 million and the women's is $5 million, then there's $55 million to split between the two teams, even if almost all of it came from the men. So that's awesome. Until now, the U.S. men have earned much larger World Cup bonuses than the four-time champion women. Even in years when, the men will still be earning a much larger World Cup bonus. They're just going to be taking most of it and giving it to the women.
Exactly.
Okay, just to remember that. Even in years when the men didn't advance out of the tournament's group stage, FIFA pays much larger sums to men's teams, citing the fact that the men's tournament generates substantially more revenue. What a crazy idea. That's weird. FIFA pays much more, and they cite the fact that the men's tournament generates substantially more revenue, and that is the only time
and
that they talk about it.
By substantially more,
article.
We've gone over this.
Yeah. It's a ridiculous amount more.
An insane amount more money.
You're and talking about...
That derives from people who watch soccer.
We'll just do general numbers here, give or take $100 million or so, but you're talking in total money that comes into FIFA... You're talking about like $400 million for the women's and $6 billion for the men's that comes in. That's what they mean by substantially more revenue. And everyone's upset that the men get paid more.
Which is almost 20 times more than what the women bring in.
FIFA will continue to pay out more to federations for participation in the men's tournament. But under the new rule, the USSF will no longer pass along tournament-specific bonuses to each squad. In agreeing to the CBA, the U.S. men are making a substantial concession. They will take home less money in World Cup bonuses than they would have previously, especially if they advance deep into the tournament. The women probably will receive much higher bonuses. You say?
Every time.
You don't say.
Every time.
Yeah, literally. all the time. The USSF, which had been under the substantial public and legal pressure, said it would not agree to a deal with the men that did not equalize the World Cup bonuses. They didn't equalize the World Cup bonuses. They're just going to be obtaining the ownership of those bonuses and paying them out equally. The winner of this year's World Cup in Qatar will receive $42 million of FIFA's $440 million total prize money if it advances to the round of 16. The U.S. men's team will receive $13 million if they advance to the 16. That's more than three times what the U.S. women received for winning the tournament in 2019 when they reaped $4 million of the $30 million in overall prize money. Once again, $440 million total for the men, $30 million for the women. And actually, like we made the case several times before, the women prize pool is a larger portion of the total amount of money that FIFA receives than the men's prize pool is. Mm-hmm. The men actually needed to be getting paid more. The winner's share of the women's event next year in Australia and New Zealand has not been finalized, but the overall prize money is proposed as $60 million. It should collectively be pushing FIFA to equalize working conditions and prize money for the two World Cups. It's amazing that what the men have done, it's appreciated, but we should be pushing FIFA.
Oh.
It's not based on the amount of money that they're taking in. That's not what it is. You need to pay out based on equity, essentially, not based on performance or the revenue that you generate as a team.
No, they're doing the same job, Nate.
Besides,
they run the same speeds, they do the same flips, they have the same kicks,
mm-hmm.
they save the same goals. It's the same job.
The exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Besides the World Cup money, the agreements will end guaranteed salaries for the women's players and instead pay them at the same rates as the men for achievements such as roster selection and team performance. The men were not paid a salary by the USSF, an issue that complicated the women's argument for equal pay.
Because they got a guaranteed salary as part of their collective bargaining agreement.
So that issue, the fact that the men didn't have a salary, somewhat complicated the argument for the equal pay, I would say. For similar non-World Cup tournaments, players on both teams will earn equal amounts of total prize money. The teams will also equally share a portion of the USF's broadcast, so the money that they bring in from that, even though way more people will be watching the men, partner and sponsorship revenue, and receive a share of the revenue from tickets sold at USSF-organized home matches. Both teams will receive bonuses for games that are sold out. The settlement was effectively an admission that the USSF had not paid the women's team equally. What does that mean? Of course they're not paying. They don't receive equal amounts. Yes, that is true.
They're not bringing in the same amount of money.
Notice they said equally and not fairly. They can't use the word fairly because fair would be determined based on the amount of money that's coming in from each team. So they use the word equally. Yes, they received unequal amounts of money.
That's right.
The women had sought $66 million in back pay, but suffered a major setback in 2020 when a district judge ruled that they had agreed to a different pay structure than the men's team. And in fact, they earned more money overall than the men in 2020. All these weird setbacks in their argument that they went through.
But you agreed to a different pay structure.
The USSF argued that paying the same bonuses to the women for winning the World Cup that they had promised to the men would bankrupt the Chicago-based nonprofit. But the women said the Federation was obligated to pay them equally regardless of FIFA's bonus structure. So they argue that USSF should just pay out the same amount that the men were receiving. And the USSF said that will literally bankrupt us because you're talking about money that doesn't exist right now. They're like, well, why don't you just have the Fed print it? That's fine. And now they're obligated to pay them equally regardless of the money that's coming in.
Well, it's equal, Nate. It's fair.
Zimmerman, who they had quoted earlier, said he believes the deal will create a bond between the teams, which have largely operated independently of each other for decades.
Mm.
How's it going to create a bond?
I think it's weird that it's 2022 and we've separated soccer persons into two different things based on a social construct of gender.
Yeah, you're right about
These
that.
These are just soccer persons.
We should just not look at the gender at all and just let the best players make the team, because none of their genders are just words that are attached.
We should just have one U.S. team and that they play all the matches.
Yeah. Quote, "We're rooting so hard for them, and they're rooting so hard for us. It hasn't been like that in the past. We're excited for the partnership. It really does feel like a sense of togetherness, which will also translate off the field with the camaraderie and sheer passion for the game and growing the sport here." Yes, they have tied each other to each other's earnings, so now they have a sense of togetherness. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, the people rooting hardest for the men's team this year will be the U.S. women's team, for sure, because they get to take most of their money that comes in.
Regardless of what they do or how much money they bring in.
This is. But you know what? Hey, let them do this.
Also,
whatever
they agreed to it.
Yeah,
looks like the men's team agreed to it. They signed the CBA. So, you know, if you want to contractually do that, that's fine. If all in the name of woke-tivism.
Oh man! All right, now let's get to today's news regarding Megan Rapinoe. Sadly, she has announced that she's retiring at the end of this season. I know. We're all very, very sad about this fact. I'm actually kind of sad about it because it means she's going to have more time to say dumb stuff. Now, I don't know if that's going to be countered by the fact that she'll be less relevant, as she won't be playing. I'm a little worried that she's going to be out there just giving speeches more, and it kind of scares me. I kind of wish she would keep being worse than men at soccer for the rest of her life if she could. But anyway, from CNN.com, Megan Rapinoe says the U.S. has weaponized women's sports against trans people, and they're trying to legislate away people's full humanity. From CNN, be it the issues of LGBTQ+ rights or equal pay, the U.S. women's national team star Megan Rapinoe has never been afraid of standing up for what she believes in, no matter how dumb it is. I added some of that. And now on the eve of her final Women's World Cup, Rapinoe has taken aim at recent policies that aim to ban transgender women from competing in women's sports. Quote, "We as a country are trying to legislate away people's full humanity." Another quote, "It's particularly frustrating when women's sports is weaponized. Oh, now we care about fairness? Now we care about women's sports? That's total BS," she says. All right. So we've talked about this argument. I can't remember who it was that made it. Maybe it was Corey Bush, I believe, that made this argument, and it was in one of our dumb bleeps. But you can't talk about fairness in women's sports if you don't care about equal pay in women's sports. And, of course, what equal pay means is that you get to make way more money than you're actually earning through ticket sales and through advertising dollars. And that's what equal pay is, even if you're earning way less money. So you can't talk about fairness. You can't say that it's not fair for a man to go play against women when you don't care about equal pay, right? Because those are the same thing. Well, they're actually not the same thing, and that has nothing to do with fairness. In fact, fairness is the women getting paid what they have earned through their ticket sales and through their advertising dollars and through the contracts that they have created. That is fairness. Unfairness would be paying them more than what they're actually worth, or allowing men who are physically dominant and superior to them to come and play against them. That is actually not fair either. In what way is taking more money than you have earned deemed to be fairness these days? It's not. And so, Megan, good riddance to you. She also says, by the way, that she doesn't care if men come and play soccer against the women. Doesn't care. Of course, now that she's retiring, she's not going to have to worry about it. By the way, if men were just playing women's soccer, there's a good chance she wouldn't even have a job, because even if she is one of the better players or used to be, I don't really know how good she is. She's good at talking and having different colored
hair.
Her
friend, Cap Trucker, posted communism and socialism are an effect, theft of the fruits of one's labor.
Just
that
men,
makes them by default slavery and therefore morally abhorrent.
She's as good as any of them.
Correct.
That's just a fact of life.
Correct.
Sorry about that.
You cannot make a moral argument for stealing the fruits of people's labor and giving it to other people. You just can't. It's not moral. We're going to take the moral high ground here. Now, this person, this commie, says ANCAP's literally just repurposing anti-capitalist critiques of capitalism. Zero self-awareness. ANCAP Trucker says that I'm right. This guy says, no, you're not. The only reason, here's the important part, the only reason business owners make profit is through the theft of excess labor value of their employees. That is the economic reality we live in. Well, that's not true. Because excess labor value of their employees is false. That is not a thing that exists. That could only exist if you think that the capitalist or the business owner brought no value to the table. There was a photo going around, and it might actually still be in the show notes here. Let me look and see. I wanted to talk about it for a while. Give me a second here, guys. Let me see if it's still hanging out in the show notes. Yep, it is. How about that? Here's a great example. Okay. I don't know what these pieces are. I don't know what these little plastic pieces are. If someone in the group knows what these little plastic pieces are, you can tell me. They're just little round plastic pieces, and I guess that's not super important for what this meme is showing. This person says, I have to work an hour before I can afford to buy three of these. And then they say, I make 3,000 of them every hour. So this person makes 3,000 of them every hour, and after that hour, they can only afford to buy three of them. And the caption on here says, this is unironically one of the most concise and easy to understand explanations of profit and labor I have ever seen. So I'm very envious of people who see things like this and then they think that the whole world has just been explained to them and that things are actually this simple and easy to understand. They're not. They're easy if you're this simple minded or if you just haven't had your mind opened up to the rest of the story. Whatever this thing is, for the purposes of talking about this on the podcast, so I don't have to just keep saying whatever this is. I know that they're not carabiners, but I'm just going to call it a carabiner because when I first saw the photo, I was like, oh, is that a carabiner? And I was like, oh, no, that's not what that is. I'm going to call it that for fun, for the purposes of talking on the podcast to people who aren't going to see what's actually in the photo, for anyone who's actually watching the video. If you're talking about a little carabiner right here and this person making 3,000 of them every hour, did this guy make 3,000 of them? What about this gigantic building that he's standing in right now? I mean, this is a big warehouse building that he is in currently. There's tons of machinery that's helping this guy make I doubt he's sitting there whittling out of a piece of plastic 3,000 of these things every hour. Okay, there's machines inside this building that are actually doing this. He probably moves one thing from one table to another, and that's fine. Okay, that's totally fine. What about all the materials that go into making that thing, that he's making 3,000 of them every single hour? Are they plastic? Are they metal? How did they get those materials? What resources did they have to mine or create in a lab to create these materials and make the molds for these things and for this guy to say that he makes 3,000 of them every hour? How did those materials get there? Did he go out there into the forest and find the materials for them and melt them down, mix things together, come up with the compound formulation for it to put all this stuff together? And then did he get all of it and drive all of it to the warehouse that he built with his own hands out of other materials that he went out into nature and created so he could build this warehouse where he could make 3,000 of these things every hour? No. He walked in, he hit a button, he clocked in, punch the time card, whatever it was. Jeff said his women coworkers can only buy two. And so he doesn't know how lucky he is, honestly. He walked into the place, he clocked in, and he started hitting a button, or he started moving a tray around, or something like that. And that's him making 3,000 of those every hour. But what about all the other stuff that went into it? It's not like the business owner's keeping the money from the other 2,700. There's the shipping cost, there's material cost, the electricity cost of this gigantic building. The building has cost. They probably haven't paid for it yet. There's tons of other workers. They got to pay the government a bunch of money. Okay. So no, he didn't make 3,000 of them. The capital that the business owner put in has value. You know how you know that capital has a lot of value? You go to places where they have plenty of workers and no capital, like countries in Africa. Just say, I'll pull a random one. I don't know what state that they're in right now, but Nigeria. Plenty of workers, not enough capital. Are all the workers doing fine, keeping all of the value of their labor and keeping all of the fruits of their labor? There's not enough labor to go around because there hasn't been enough capital brought into the country or risks in that country to put all of that labor to use. It's just a bunch of people who know how to labor. And so when you say that this labor has been stolen from the employee, that anything charged above what the employee got paid is a stolen part of their wages, you are denying the fact that capital has a value and that all of those things we mentioned that went into making this have value in this equation. It's not just you standing there hitting buttons or moving a tray around or whatever it is that you're doing. That's not the only value that goes into making this product. All of the other things had to happen for you to be able to do that. And all those things had to be created before you could come in and do that. People like to say, well, if I wasn't here hitting these buttons and moving this tray around, well, the business owner wouldn't make any money. That's true. You got to have people to come in and do that. But before you could come in and do that, all of those other things had to happen. And people completely ignore it. They choose to ignore it, or they're just ignorant, or they're so upset and they're so envious. They're so mad that people have more than they do. They're so victimized and they're so entitled that it never crosses their mind. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. Coming up, we're going to talk about the U.S. breaking its own rules to send more weapons over to Ukraine, and then following our rules and wasting your money all the time, and how we can fight against these. Then we'll talk climate change, RFK, all that, right back after the break.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.